You are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCALP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Please note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them and not necessarily of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. It is now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm bringing in people and events from the local folk music scene and beyond. I'm here to learn how folk is manifesting itself and also to give you, my listeners, an idea as to how to involve yourselves in the diversity that is folk music and culture. The program's meant to spark your imagination and perhaps prompt you to take action. So, step one, stay tuned as I help convey the music and stories of my guests who are graciously here to share with you all a bit of their personal histories and musical selves. Before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements followed by the weather, community bulletin, and a word from our underwriters. Why don't we just start with the community bulletins right here. Community calendar. Register your bike. Portsmouth Police reminds residents that if they register their bicycle with the Portsmouth Police Department, it will help authorities notify them if their bike is recovered after being lost or stolen. Go to the police department anytime to have the pertinent information recorded and receive a free registration sticker to affix to the bicycle. Each year, police recover dozens of bicycles in Portsmouth that they cannot return to the owners because there is no information on file. Also, from the City of Portsmouth Community Newsletter, this is a fire permit reminder. With the exception of gas and charcoal grilling in above-ground, non-combustible containers, fire permits are required for any outside burning in Portsmouth. This includes chimneys and metal fire pits, which must be at least 25 feet from any structure and should never be installed on combustible surfaces like decks. Seasonal permits for these are available for $5 at any fire station unless you live in the South End, roughly bordered by Pleasant and State Streets, where burning is never allowed. Other outside burning requires a permit to be obtained that day, and burning is only allowed from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. unless it's raining. Speaking of rain, the weather right now, it is mostly cloudy. I didn't notice that when I was outside, but the computer is never wrong, supposedly. Mostly cloudy and 60 degrees. Tonight, rain likely, mainly after 5 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 47. South wind around 8 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tuesday, rain. High near 53. South wind between 11 and 16 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half an inch possible. Tuesday night, rain. Patchy fog, low around 49. South wind around 16 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and a half inch possible. I myself only go out till Tuesday. Alrighty. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Taste of the Seacoast, offering a special dining out package for over a dozen of the best restaurants, eateries, and cafes on the seacoast. For information about the Taste of the Seacoast Grand Dining Out Package, go to tasteoftheseacoast.com. All right, that was good. Time to get on to what we're doing. Tonight's guest is actually two guests, or I should say two fiddles. The he half is largely known as the guy who made folk dancing cool again, and he fell in love with the music while visiting Mistwald Farm as a boy and later rode the crest of the folk revival during the 60s to bring folk dancing out of the barn and into places like the Newport Folk Festival and Club 47 in Boston. now Club Passim. Since that time, he, along with his partner, have kept the tradition alive with teaching apprentices and students, writing books, releasing CDs, and holding dances up in Canterbury, New Hampshire. They were chosen to represent traditional dancing in the Smithsonian Folklife Festival, in 1999. And he was awarded a National Heritage Fellowship in 2009. I'm pleased to announce two fiddles, Jacqueline and Dudley Loffman. Welcome to Local Folk.
Thanks.
Now, I'd like to just start with, if it's all right with you guys, I just wanted to talk a little bit about some background from Dudley when he was growing up. We have that song that you wrote that I've been listening to called Mistwald, and I was reading on your website just a little bit about Mistwald Farm. Tell me about, you know, before the 60s, before the folk revival, when you were growing up, you know, what was going on? How did you start getting involved in this music? How did you first hear it, for example?
First was at Mistwald Farm. I worked, it was a dairy farm. The man I worked for played the fiddle, and his wife, Betty, called the dances, and we used to have parties in the house. We called them kitchen junkets, and it was an old Yankee New England, New Hampshire farmhouse built in the 1700s, and it was we danced in the kitchen, the old kitchen, which became the living room. And it was a fireplace there, and there'd always be a fire in the fireplace, so there was the smell of the wood smoke, and the rosiny sound of the fiddle, and the firelight gleaming on the girl's hair. A lot of people have heard this story. And I was hooked. That was it. And I was 14, 15, 16 years old. And so I learned to dance there. What we did, we only did the Virginia Reel two or three times and one square dance, and that was it. And we just repeat them. And then I went to an agricultural school in Walpole, Mass., Norfolk County Agricultural High School, and they did square dancing every Monday night. And I learned I played on the hockey team the first year, but they always had a festival at the end of the year, and they would train one or two of the boys to call a dance, usually a square dance, usually a singing call, so it was easy for the boys to learn it, like to Red River Valley or Golden Slippers. Anyway, I thought that was pretty neat, and I noticed that the boys got a lot of attention from the female segment of the audience. Well, the next year we didn't have a hockey team, and I remembered about the dancing, so I decided I wanted to call. By that time, I'd already taught myself to do it, and by the end of the year, not only was I doing it, I was also making a little money at it, and so that's how I got started.
By the end of the year of
at Norfolk Aggie, yeah.
Okay, you were already making money calling
dances.
Well, not
dances. Much, but a little.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Right.
A little
yeah,
bit,
yeah.
Okay. And this was around when? This around what
1949-50.
1949-50.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of your influences that you brought in for us to hear a little bit of is a fellow named...
Ralph Page.
Ralph Page.
He was my first mentor, and then... A lot of others followed, but I liked him the best. I used to dance to him. Well, we danced to his recordings at the Aggie, and then on Tuesday nights, he held forth at the Boston YWCA, and my teachers at the Aggie used to take me in there occasionally, and I thought that was the best thing. And the music was very symphonic. The musicians all played in the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and it was very smooth and very slick, but I still loved it. But Ralph Page... It was the caller, but he kept talking about the dances up in New Hampshire. He said, you folks really ought to come to New Hampshire. They know how to dance up there. And so I did. I went up one time to dance in Peterborough, and I never looked back. It was just much grainier, the tempo was slower, much more full-bodied, and not anywhere near as smooth. Up in New Hampshire, Peterborough. Yeah, it was at Bell Studio, had a sprung floor. Ralph was the caller. And the band was Dick Richardson, Junior Richardson, that's his son, Johnny Trombley on the piano, and Bob McQuillan on the piano accordion, and Russ Allen on the fiddle, and it had a very rich sound. I just thought, that was it for me. And so one of the recordings we got here, I guess, is of Dick Richardson and Junior and Johnny playing Money Musk.
I'm going to play this, and the first version that I have does not have
calls
in it, but what I'm going to do is fade into one that has calls. So
yeah.
I'm going to give people an idea about what this music sounded like to you when you were listening to this somewhere at Norfolk Aggie.
Yeah, and just beyond, yeah. But this is still one of my favorite recordings of Money Musk, which is our favorite dance. We just love to do it. So it's a contra dance, long ways dance, came from Scotland. Got changed a little bit, New Hampshireized, but the first part here, Dick Richardson is playing it alone, and then we're going to segue into Ralph Page calling to the same music, And then I'm going to segue into me calling it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. And then when we come back from that, I think that we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between the different dances and things like that, contra versus square dance and things like that. But here we go. This is... I do have a question for you, though. Was this something that was being played on a record player when you were...
Yeah, but Ralph finally made some recordings. And I thought that was terrific.
Okay, so he brought it in, and you were in like a gym or something?
No. We were just it was the gym at the Aggie, but it was a block floor. You know, it was a wood block floor.
A wood block floor. Yeah. Okay, so you're stomping around on the wood block floor?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, let's listen to more of this.
You can hear that Dick is a very rough kind of fiddler. The tune is in the key of A, so it's got that wildness to it. And then that banging in the back is Johnny Trombley on the piano. He's a little French-Canadian fellow from Marlborough, New Hampshire.
That banging in the back.
Yeah. And then Junior, Dick's son, is playing the bass.
See, this is something in dance music that you hear a lot of that you don't hear in other music, which is a piano.
Yeah.
Holding steady the rhythm.
Yeah. And that's what Bob McQuillan does now. He doesn't play his accordion so much. He plays the piano, but he learned from Johnny.
Let's put some calls in this. Let's listen to what this is like with some calls.
Right and left four. Now right and left once more. Go one and a half around. Go below one couple and forward six.
Now, is it normal when you're calling to have a little bit of a melody?
No, that was Page. And that's what I do. A lot of people don't. They just talk.
They just talk.
I prompt it. But there's a few beginning now. There's some access to this. People are learning to do that. Some can do it. Some can't.
Was it something that just came natural to you, or
I imitated Ralph?
You imitated
and,
Ralph,
and Ralph picked up his style from Happy Hale, who was a caller from Bernardston, Mass. Happy Hale. He called this way, and I got some recordings of him. I picked him up from the Library of Congress. But this—that—that—that's just a magic. His calling.
Well, it. Now the new head couple, you're ready to dance. I can't quantify what it is, but it's certainly melodic and makes you want to bounce.
Yeah. Go below one couple
and forward six. And what I also find interesting is how the music changes once you start calling.
Yeah.
It's different than the music that didn't have the calling.
Yeah. Three quarters round and play to right and left
four. Now do the same once more. Now do the same once more.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is this an easy dance to learn?
No.
This is not an easy dance.
No. People who grow up doing it thinking nothing of it, you know. But I could do it in my sleep.
I'm not a dancer. I learned how to sing so I wouldn't have to dance.
Yeah. Three quarters round a place
right and left four. So I think I'm going to go over to you doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the evolution of this particular dance. And a half around, once and a half around, once and a half around, middle one couple and forward six. Three quarters around, and forward six again once more.
Three quarters around, and you're right and left.
It's a little more refined.
Well, the musicians on this have trained the Ozachowski family, but they also play by ear. But the piano is one of the Ozachowskis who learned from Bob McQuillan, who learned from Johnny. Direct chain.
Okay.
Yeah. You can see. You can almost hear the style is the same.
I guess it was the fiddles.
Yeah.
The technology helps as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Being able to record it nicely as well.
Yeah.
Let's listen a little bit more to this.
And forward six the other way. Three quarters round, three quarters round. And you're right and left four, you right and left. And you're right and left, right back again.
Now, question for you: was it a contra dance like this that that brought you to where you? Is it something like this song right here that helped you gain this widespread popularity among?
Well, one of many. Yeah, it became after a while it became impossible to teach this to all those raging hippies that came to the dances. But you know, it's the favorite dance. It's the favorite dance in Nelson. Always the first dance after intermission, and everybody lines up for it. And they still do it. They still do it down there.
They still do it.
Yeah.
What do you think makes it? I mean, I was listening to it. Is it, to me, I'd get confused with all the three quarters around.
Yeah. Well, it's almost a dance you've got to have a slide rule to do, but it's the stepping. There's a lot of stepping in it that people do, and there's no, you don't learn. You learn by watching, learn by doing. There's no classes. You can't go by it to a class. I've tried to do workshops on Money Musk, and only where there's a lot of dancers, but when you try it with people who've never danced before, you just don't.
You just don't.
Don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. You do dance, not to the both of you, two fiddles, do dances together now. Do you do that up at your place?
Wherever. You know, we go anywhere.
But you mix up.
Well, we do squares, contras, folk dances, you know, waltzes, polkas, things like that.
Now, this whole thing about square dancing and contra dancing and raging hippies. Is something that was fascinating to me when I was reading a little bit about it on you know, how this whole thing happened. First of all, what do you think that it was that you were doing differently than a square dancer, for example? Was it the fact that you're doing contra dances, or what?
That was part of it.
About it.
That was part of it. There was, at one particular point, a lot of people were doing this modern Western square dancing where they had the outfit that they wore. And that was, Ralph Page ran into this, that was replacing, people went to his dances, to the Western dances rather than to Page. And he was obviously upset about it, and he did the best he could to work with it. And I did too. I mean, but I decided that I wanted to do contras instead of squares. So at my public dances in Nelson and wherever, I would do more contras than squares. I'd always do some squares, but it was more contras than squares. When I was a kid, it was more squares than contras. And but the other thing was that Ralph and Ted Sinella and some of the callers from the Boston area were much stricter than I. And,
okay.
And I was a little bit more lenient, and that's because I knew which side my bread was buttered on. I mean, I knew that if I was lenient, I'd get people to come.
Yep.
And so I allowed people to clap their hands in time to the music and wear bare feet and stamp and whistle and make a noise. And Ralph wouldn't tolerate it. And so he gained some people who loved that, you know, liked it when there wasn't much noise. They were an older crowd. And during the bicentennial, Ralph picked up quite a bunch. Some of them were overflow of Mayan and older people from Mayan that didn't like the hippies, so they veered towards Ralph and Duke Miller and Ted Sinella. And that's fine. We had a lot of people. But it became an easy business to get into. Very easy business to get into. You buy a penny whistle and you could play for a dance. You know, it's not like outfitting a rock and roll band. And so a lot of people got into it, and as a result, we had competition, you know, and it became pretty stiff. And so gradually we got in bad odor with the contra dance crowd and sort of began, in order to make a living at it, working with kids in schools and drunks and preppies and do a lot of weddings and things like that. And so we could keep going. I mean, at one particular point a few years ago, we'd have 300 gigs a year. Now, the recession and No Child Left Behind has cut that back to almost 200, but that's still a lot.
200 is a significant amount of gigs.
Yeah.
And you think that it's because of your willingness to play, you know, for all kinds of people?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
People are a little bit, my guess is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, of course, but are people more accepting generally across cultural lines nowadays? You're saying that back then it was like you could play the hippies and they were all barefoot and stomped their feet and whooping it up. And then there was the proper people.
We usually didn't get those gigs. Once in a while we would. Once in a while somebody wanted a breath of fresh air. And I was also talking to a caller out in Michigan. We were talking on a website, I mean on a you know, group. What do you call them online?
A blog or a I don't know, a chat
group? Chat group, yeah. Something? Yeah. And they were talking about how many gigs they had. And she said they're lucky if they get one a month, you know. So,
you know, I had a guest on, Sylvia Misko, who you know, she performs with you some
sure, yeah.
times or maybe a lot. Or,
yeah.
Well, she was telling me that she, when she heard your album, the Canterbury Folk Orchestra, which I'm going to play in just a moment.
Yeah, Canterbury Country Dance Orchestra.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Jeepers. I'm staring at it right here. Oh. All right. That you, to her, were like the rock star of that genre. And I'm wondering if it... And she says it was because of the music. She says it was because she'd go into a place and there really wouldn't be that much going on. There'd be a fiddle and there'd be, you know... But that'd be it.
Yeah.
But when she heard... you know, the orchestra here, the Canterbury Country Dance Orchestra, she thought it just blew her away because it was so big.
Yeah, it was a rich sound.
It was
a wall of sound. Yeah.
We're going to listen to a piece of that right now, if you don't mind. This is a piece that you wrote called Mistwald, and tell me, I mean, you grew up visiting the farm Mistwald.
Yeah, in Fremont, yeah.
And is there anything else that you want to tell us about the song? Or?
No. All right.
Let's just give it a listen then. How about that?
The only thing I can say is on the recording it's in B flat because the person that noted it down I was playing a B flat harmonica. So Kay Gilbert wrote it down in B flat, but we play it in G.
You play it in G normally?
Yeah.
Okay. So here we are, Mistwald in B flat. The harmonica.
Yeah. Thank you.
You are tuned to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. You are listening to Local Folk, and I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and I am here today with my guests, Jacqueline and Dudley Loffman, also known as Two Fiddles. I've been speaking with Dudley, but I'd like to get Jacqueline into the mix here. Jacqueline, I just played this from the... I wanted to talk a little bit about learning this type of music, and I know that you teach. I know, for example, that at least one or more friends of mine, Jordan Wysocki, for example, has been your apprentice. What was he to you?
He was my student, and he was 9 years old, and I had only been teaching a few months, and he was brilliant and took my breath away. So we played with him last Friday at the Canterbury Children's Center, and he still takes my breath away, what he can do. And it coincides with the tune we just heard, Mistwald. Still takes my breath away. It's genius. So it carries on, you know, to have a student, Dudley's apprentice, my student, and he wrote a beautiful waltz. I don't know if he played it for you when he was here, but it was... And when we listened to him the other day play it, same thing. It just, he's got something that strikes right here, the same thing as Dudley has.
So, with that in mind, part of this, this stuff does need to be passed on. And that is part of your sort of mission as Two Fiddles. I guess I could go back to Dudley on this.
Yeah, I don't consider it a mission. It's just what I do.
It's just what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have a written out plan or anything like that as to how this is all.
Yeah. The Two Fiddles, at one particular point, I was playing accordion, piano accordion, and Jacqueline was doing some courting on the piano at a party, and we started to play a Morris dance tune called Step Back. And I said, boy, wouldn't this sound great on two fiddles? And so she went out and bought a fiddle. And so we played that together, and it sounded really nice. I've always been enamored of Scandinavian music, particularly Norwegian, and they and Swedish, and they do a lot with more, you know, several fiddles. And I can't even begin to approach that, but I like that sound. And so that's where the two fiddles got going. Also, fiddles are light, easy to carry around, portable, travel well on airplanes, and you go through certain phases on this, and I was interested in the traveling dancing master. And the traditional ones always played a fiddle. So there was that business there, and then Jacqueline just joined in, so there were two of us.
The traveling dancing master?
Yeah, the dancing masters used to travel around. Unfortunately, there's not that much documentation of them in New England, but people who taught dancing, either in a city like this or wandering around, going around from town to town, most of them provided their own music, and that was on the fiddle. Sometimes if they were just traveling dancing teachers, they'd have to employ the local musician to help them.
Oh, I see.
And that happened sometimes, too. But I was always quite excited about the traveling dancing master, and there used to be a fellow down in Greenland, New Hampshire. His name was Clement Weeks, and he lived on a farm down there, and somehow he went to Harvard to better his life, and while he was there, he went to dancing school. And he wrote the dances down on his cuff, and then he kept them in a little day book. Somehow that day book ended up at the Worcester Antiquarian Society, and he got credited with the dances he wrote down. They were actually the dances of the day, and but they credited him with them, and then they published them. The Country Dance and Song Society published them. So I envisioned this man from Greenland, New Hampshire, as being a wandering dancing master who would drink a lot of rum and sleep with women under honeysuckle bushes, you know, and I wrote a poem about it. Well, anyway, we did a program in Greenland, New Hampshire, one time, and a little girl said, well, he was my great-great-grandfather, and he's buried down on the edge of Great Bay. So Jacqueline and I took our fiddles that afternoon in a mist and went down there, and somebody followed with a video camera, and we played one of Clements dance tune. Not when he wrote, but when he collected, mm-hmm. Black Joke. And we played it, and somebody filmed it of us playing right over his grave.
Really neat.
Yeah.
Really neat. Wow.
But anyway.
The filmmaker was Jeff Palmer, Flickr Pictures.
Jeff Palmer of Flickr Pictures is the one. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I've always labored under this fantasy of being a dancing master, and the fiddle seemed to fit that in. My fingers don't operate as well now, and I've taken playing the accordion again. But if I can do this for a while, they begin to fall back into place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that you'll play something live for us right now between the two fiddles. And you have something prepared, perhaps?
We could play. This is a tune called Jacob or Enrico, and I don't know who wrote it. It's a traditional English tune, and it was Thomas Hardy's favorite tune. Thomas Hardy, the English novelist and poet.
Yep.
And he started off as a kid at 4 years old, playing a button accordion. And his father played the fiddle, and a grandfather played the fiddle, uncle played the fiddle, and another one played the cello, and someone else played a schwamm, which is like a sackbut, it's like a saxophone. And they had a family band.
Neat.
And they played for dances around the village there. And this tune was so moving for Thomas Hardy that he would start weeping and he'd have to leave the room.
That was two fiddles. That is Dudley Loffman and Jacqueline Loffman. They are partners in the two fiddles. They perform hundreds of times a year, and they just performed live for us in the studio. I need to just take a moment right now and just let you know that programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Music Hall, an American treasure for the arts. It's the Seacoast Performing Arts Center that entertains 100,000 patrons annually on Chestnut Street, Portsmouth. Schedule and other information at themusichall.org. And I also wanted to let you know about Making Waves, Independent Voices for Peace and Justice. Tune in every Saturday from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. for Making Waves, a local independent political activist show with news from the non-corporate media, interviews of people working for change, talking about peace and justice, music with a political bent, and more. Making Waves is your local connection to the world. I also wanted to let you know that normally at this time I would let you know what's going on musically in the world and in my world. I guess I'll just ask Dudley, where's the next gig that you guys are playing?
Tomorrow night we're playing up in Sebago Lake.
Ah.
And, it's a private dance, but it's called NELP, New England Literary Program.
New England?
These kids come from Michigan, and they come every year. They used to come in the middle of the winter to experience New England in the wintertime and do writing about it. And then they decided not to do that, so now they come during Black Fly season. But they always have a dance on the first or second night, and we've been doing it now almost 30 years.
Wow.
And they're great. They're a very enthusiastic bunch of kids.
I have I wanted to let you all, my listeners, know that if you want to learn more about two fiddles or contra dancing or anything like this, please go to Loffman.org. It's Laufman.org, and there's a wealth of information on there about contra dancing and all sorts of other things. Now, I just wanted to. I see that you now have a very nice looking accordion in your hands. Boy, I've never even seen one like that before.
It's called a button accordion or a melodeon.
A melodeon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how it differs from the kind of accordion that somebody might see on something like the Lawrence Welk Show or something like that is a piano accordion.
Yeah.
That looks like a piano on the side. This is a button accordion,
yeah.
And it looks like a box with, well, buttons on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and it's diatonic, and it's only in the key of G. So it can only be played in the key of G, although I can play some things in D on it.
Okay.
But it's a what they call suck and blow. It's like a harmonica, one note in, one note out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what were you thinking about playing?
Well, we always, whether we like it or not, and we love it, is a tune that we play this month called Sweets of May.
Sweets of May.
Right. So I'm going to read you a little poem that I wrote first.
Okay.
And then we'll play the tune called Sweets of May. And there's a dance that goes with it. Sweets of May. The spice of the currant blossom floats upon the air, makes my feet go up and down, a garland in my hair. For I am a country dancer, the best you've ever seen. Golden is my partner with a smock of green. We dance around the lilacs and through the greeny grass as the music slides and trembles and the May lasts on into the summer, June and then July, autumn and longy winter, all the seasons die. Oh, how I love the springtime and the May again when the men dance around the ladies and the ladies go around the men.
Listening to two fiddles right now, although we did just listen to one fiddle and one button accordion. 200 gigs a year playing this stuff.
Yeah.
Used to be 300 a year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you even, you know, how much time do you even spend up in Canterbury? Probably not much, huh?
Well, more now. And we have a big garden and doing some construction on the house now, so that we're there quite a lot.
You have, every time there's a fifth weekend, is that what it is?
Yeah, whenever there's a fifth Saturday. It used to be just didn't matter whether it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or even on a Monday. But we haven't done as many of those because of just a number of things. Sometimes we'd get a higher paying gig.
Okay.
We'd take it. We had one a couple of weeks ago in March, and it was very, very well attended. And the next one is September. The next fifth weekend is in July, but it's too hot.
Too hot.
Yeah.
So you have a space that you...
Yeah, a little dance hall. It's about as big as this room. It's not very big.
Really?
Yeah, but we can fit packed in there. We've had as many as 40 people dancing in there one time. They do it the way the French Canadians do it. Tighten right up, you know.
Tighten right up?
Yeah.
Okay, and then if they were around me, they'd probably have to wear big, you know, something to protect their toes.
No.
So 200 gigs a year, though, and Jacqueline, I wanted to just ask you, you must be, I heard that you are the person that sets up all these things and takes care of a lot of these behind-the-scenes aspects of what's going on. So what does that look like to you? I mean, is that just a lot of hauling stuff around, or?
No, well, behind the scenes is a good term. We both share in the emails and the phone calls, so we... we don't have to delegate that. But, you know, in any small business, there's always have to do the monthly books, you know, the expenses. And then I manage the website. I set it all up. I learned how to do it. And the website is important. And it's not a great website, but it's functional. And then every business has to have an IT person to take care of the computers and the printers. And I dislike that job immensely, but it's by default that it comes to me. And when I am over my head, my son-in-law, Christian, is a computer whiz, so I can call him and he gets me through. And then there's also the maid that has to keep the business area clean and functioning, and the secretary that runs to the office, you know, Staples to go buy the paper and the ink and the pens and, you know, all those things that happen that it's unbelievable. The number of things that have to go on to make a business happen. And I've fulfilled a lot of those roles. Dudley's a genius, as you can see, behind the whole thing. And then we're also the authors of this great dance book that we produced with the Human Kinetics Publishing Company. And that took 3 years.
Wow.
And Dudley, again, was the genius behind it. And he said all the yays and nays about what dances and that sort of thing. And we're also the recording artists. So we're the authors, the writers, the technical revisionists, the musicians. Then we had to send in an artistic manuscript for what photos we wanted and what diagrams we wanted, so that then they flew us out to Illinois and they set up a photo shoot and then set up a DVD shoot. And like all of that. You know, we had to set that up, but even though he's a genius, I'm the do it so that it's functional person. And prior to that, the books that we had published, I did the layout and design. And then we also have a poetry publishing business or a book publishing business for poetry, and guess who does the layout and the design and distribution and
that sounds like a massive amount of work.
If she didn't do it, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't do it.
No, but you're making it happen, right?
Yeah. So it happens because she makes it happen.
Because she makes it happen.
Yeah.
And then the taxes come due, and
I didn't even like to think about that. Yeah. Plus, you're traveling, doing 200 gigs a year. But what just like to mention is that. I mean, you're professional gigging musicians. Last week on, I had somebody named Tom Lanigan Band, and they're professional gigging musicians. They do something different. They're playing the pubs and, but you know, and some festivals and all kinds of other things, but traveling all over the place, working about 5 days a week. But you, even you have won the nation's highest honor as a folk musician, from the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Heritage Fellow.
Yeah.
And yet you still have to do all this work to keep...
Yeah. And I wouldn't have got that if it hadn't been for...
Is that right? Well, how was that? Tell me about
because
that.
Because she saw to it she and Lynn Martin, the state folklorist, nominated me. I would never have thought about that. I got a governor's award, but again, when you first went out for the governor's award, the first time I tried, simply somebody had to write a letter. But the next time it became more of a heavy letters, and then after that it became like a grant application. So I just washed my hands of it, and she did it.
All right, I have a story.
Okay.
When I arrived in the late 80s, Dudley had to look up a phone number for somebody, and he opened his desk drawer, and he had about 100 little pieces of paper, and he thumbed through all those pieces of paper looking for the phone number of the person he wanted to call. I said, well, we could put them on a Rolodex, right? 1980 or mid-80s.
Yes.
I filled up one Rolodex, had to start another one. And then my daughter showed me that there was such a thing as a word processor. And I thought, oh, okay, let's try that. And then Dudley would never have to use whiteout again. However, in this word processor, you go from A, and 60 lines, it's the bottom of the page, and it doesn't roll over.
Right.
So the B's were like 3 pages long. Couldn't alphabetize them. Okay. And so I got a computer, and he growled, and he grumbled, and he groaned, and he made me hide it in a slip of cloth material so he couldn't see it. And 2 years later, after he used mine for a while, he said, I think we need another computer.
Mm-hmm. Dragged tooth and nail to into the technology, I guess.
We have something like 1,200 people. These are not business associates. These are mostly friend associates.
Neat.
In our...
That's different than Facebook friends now, isn't it?
Database,
I'm
right.
I'm on Facebook. She put me on because of my class, because of my 80th birthday. And... for a while I was hooked, but now I'm beginning to let it slide.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. You're better off maybe somehow. You know, yeah. Definitely.
Except one of my kids is on it. Two of my kids are on it, so I like to keep track of them, but I don't do it. And Jacqueline was on it. Now she never looks at it. So
I think I might have sent you guys some messages, but no, that's okay. Hey, let's listen to some more music. What do we have? What do you have over here? I see that there's still a few more things going on. I'd love to hear some other pieces of music that you brought in.
All right. Well, this is Arthur Hanson, and he was a patient of mine at New Hampshire Hospital, and we became friends. He played the fiddle. There's a picture of him.
Now, what do you mean he was a patient of yours?
I ran the recreation department at New Hampshire Hospital.
Oh, okay,
there were 3,000 residents there. Now there's a couple of hundred there now. But anyway, he became a friend. And when we were down to Washington, we discovered that picture. And then I made a friend down there, and she found these recordings of him. So why don't you play just the Boston Fancy, because you can hear him calling. He used to play the fiddle and call at the same time.
Yeah, I just want to let people know, this is... When I invite somebody to come on the show, I say, hey, if you wouldn't mind, bring in some music that is influential to you, you know, something that was important to you, and you brought in the Ralph Page, and that was excellent. And what it does is it gives people insight into how you...
Also, the fellow that was playing the fiddle on Money Musk was Dick Richardson, and he was very important, too. In fact, his daughter and myself wrote a book about him.
You wrote a book about him?
About Dick Richardson, not about this guy. Well, I've written several poems about this guy, but...
Several poems about this guy. Great. Yeah. Let's listen to his music. Let's see here.
I'll take your partners for Boston Fancy. Fancy, hello!
He lived up in Ossipee.
Fancy, partner!
So you were head of the rec department, and he was a patient?
Yep.
He was a patient at the hospital, but he was... back then, it was a rec department, was like physical therapy, or...?
Occupational therapy, yeah.
But they didn't have occupational therapists.
Yeah, yeah. So recreation therapy came under the occupational department.
I see.
Listen to this. Listen to the way he's... how rough he is.
Okay, let's listen. I can hear him stomping.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was an influence. He was also a friend.
Dudley, you should clarify when this recording was done as opposed to when he was a patient, because it's confusing.
Yeah, but it was probably recorded at least 15 years before he became a patient.
And he was a patient in...
Yeah. Well, it would have been the 50s.
I mean, it sounds like quite a long time ago that this recording
died,
was made.
When he died, he gave me this watch.
Oh,
also, two of his fiddles. I didn't bring them down today.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a great story.
But that does also show that this is where you're getting influence, but then you took the whole thing. And what gave you the idea to take you said that there were what gave you the idea to add like 10 people to this whole thing? Was it just a matter of being different, or was it that you'd been hearing that all along? Like, this was just a fiddle and I could hear the stomping?
Yeah,
and
yeah, he just played the fiddle. But you didn't need to in those days, you know, you could do it by yourself. But there was a band in his town, Edson Cole, and I've done some recording of his stuff too. He's gone now. But he had his daughter played the saxophone, his wife played the piano, and he had a neighbor play the drums, and he played the fiddle and called. That's something not too many people do these days, is play and call at the same time.
Okay.
That's what I do. She can do it.
Yeah.
There's a few other people in New Hampshire can do it. In Maine, they all can. But... I can read a bit of how that got passed on, if you want.
Yes, please.
It's called Bucket Brigade. A young man takes his fiddle out sometime long ago, scrapes a tune from the old gut, and folks dance as he tells them to. His girl looks on with sparkling eyes, waits her turn as she grows up, plays and dances to the skies, then her son gets into step. This ancient, natural, earthy thing of playing the fiddle all night long, while calling out with high chanting the contra dance and cotillion, it reaches me from that old time. In my mind, I don their clothes. I shout their calls. I chant and rhyme. Scratch the strings with rosin bow. And on it goes along the line.
On it goes along the line.
Yeah.
So who are your favorite people to play to now?
Well, yesterday we had a great dance in a barn up in Samerton. And there must have been about 70 or 80 people there. Kids and adults, aging hippies. And so we do about 3 to 4 dances there a year. But this one had a supper first and then the dance. And so we didn't do any contras. And we did a couple of squares, one old cotillion. But the rest were what we call barn dances or reels, like the Virginia reel. We did the Sweets of May. We did that twice. And did a grand march, did a Paul Jones. And so it was a reel and no teaching.
No teaching.
Just calling.
Just
I would call the dances. It was a party. It wasn't a workshop. You know, people didn't come to learn anything. They came to have a good time. And that's my job, our job. And we had another musician, two other musicians. Ryan Thompson, do you know Ryan?
No, not
Ryan. Well, he lives in Lee. He's called Captain Fiddle. And he teaches fiddle, among other things. And his son, Brennish, is homeschooled, and he plays the fiddle. He's very good. And so there were two of them, plus Jacqueline and myself. Oh, and then we had Bob Reed. He's from Tuftonboro. He sat in on the guitar. So it was a five-piece band. There was another girl who came. Her name was it Audrey Buddington? Crackerjack fiddler, but she decided to dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and that was great. We loved that. That's what I like. And I like to play for weddings.
Weddings.
Yeah. And but we do a couple of dances in Nelson, which is sort of the hotbed of this whole thing. And we do the Old Home Day dance. And we do one I'm not going to tell you what we call it, but
okay.
Rand Tolman puts it on. And we do the dances that we used to do 50 years ago there, with long breaks in between and plenty to drink and plenty to eat. And Harvey Tolman does most of the music. He plays the fiddle, and then somebody plays the piano. And then on some numbers, I play the harmonica and do the calling. And that's a lot of fun. And then we do a dance in East Concord at Christmas time, and that's pretty much of a contra dance. And we do one in Gilmanton once a year, and that's a contra dance. The rest of the time, it's more like last night or tomorrow night with all those college kids. That's more what we do.
Where do you think, where do you see this going in the future? You know, you won this big award, and so do you consider yourself sort of a spokesperson for it or a champion of it?
No.
Or a, okay.
No. I see what most people associate with me with is the contra dance and the contra dance music. The music has changed radically. It's become almost very difficult to discern any rhythm in it and any division of phrasing. And a lot of people, they get to play quite a lot, and in order to make a mark for themselves, they got to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes jazzy, becomes pretty fast, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not what I want to do. I don't even want to go to a dance to it. It's very difficult to dance to. But it's all part of it. But I think it'll wear it pretty thin. What really lasts is the traditional way of doing it. Modern Western square dancing has gone that route, and they're having a hard time most places, not all places, but most places, getting enough people to dance. And they dance to recorded music. Contra dancers are now dancing some. They've got some sort of thing where they record some of the music first and they'll play that, but then they'll play along with it. And they,
right,
they can get all kinds of strange...
Like karaoke?
No, it's this fella, Ed Howe, is terrific. Great fiddler, but he can do a lot of things with his feet on a keyboard. Whatever you call it. So he can produce different sounds while he's playing the fiddle.
So this is like space music, or does it still sound like...
Yeah, it's beyond me. You know, it's my friend Ren Tolman one time was at a dance, and there was a fiddler there who was going all over the place, and Ren said, somewhere in there was Chorus Jig.
But that doesn't bug you. You're okay with it. You think it's going to go full circle, and people are going to come back to...
Yeah,
what do you think are the most important things? Steady rhythms.
And a full rich sound. You know, I have. I mean, I'm not enamored of tunes in a minor key. But you heard us play "Sweets of May's" got a minor in the middle, but I'm more prefer the major tunes, and jigs or reels. But you know, the thing that excites me, and it's a major tune, is Money Musk. I love that. But there's another dance. It's from Quebec. It's called Brandy, and it's a reel, but it's in 3/2 time. So it's I could dance that one all the time. But that's me. You know, other people it used to be people would dance these traditional dances only on special occasions. They were too busy. In rural areas, fighting off the wolves and the Indians and making sure they had a crop. In Portsmouth here, the gentry probably might dance once a month. I don't think they danced every week. But, you know, people today have opportunity. In Boston, you can dance every night of the week. So they're not going to be satisfied with Money Musk all the time. They're going to want something new and different. And that's why the calls, people are writing new dances all the time. And there's some people who just do the calling. They don't do anything else. A lot of them don't even know anything about the music. They just do the calling. They're good mathematicians, and they can figure it out. But they just get bored, and they think the dancers get bored, so they're always cooking up something new.
Do you know somebody like that that you would point to as somebody leading the charge in this new way of making the music, by any
chance?
Oh,
there's quite a few, and because I'm not particularly interested, I don't want to
pointing
them out. You see?
Okay.
Although some of them are good friends.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah.
Fair enough. Hey, well, I'll tell you what. If you want to learn more about what we've been listening to tonight, you can go to laufman.org, laufman.org, or you could contact me, Stephen Carrigan, at scarrigan, C-A-R-R-I-G-A-N, at WSCAFM.org. Those are two places, and we're going to have to get going. I'm going to have to do the handoff in just a moment, and I still have this Canterbury Country Dance Orchestra, and I wonder if you'd pick a tune that you can lead us out with. Sure.
You got one, Jacqueline? You want to pick? All right. Let's see. Well, you could play Glenn Toll.
Let's play Glenn Toll. What number is that?
That's number 9. That's another tune that I wrote.
Another tune that you wrote. Excellent.
Oh, yeah, all right, because you've played some others.
Okay, this is called Glenn Toll. Coming up next is the award-winning Under the Radar program. And also, next week on Local Folk, I wanted to let you know that we have accordion player extraordinaire, Gary Straczynski. Yes. He also swims these unbelievable things. I'm excited. I'm glad that you know who he is, and I'm glad that that we're having him on next week. And so that's it for this week on Local Folk. We've been speaking with Dudley and Jacqueline Laufman. Dudley and Jacqueline, thank you very much for being on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week on Local Folk.